W228 EP Eau Claire. And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Jennifer Kuiper in Chicago, where 40 miles southwest of the city, police are looking for whoever shot and killed eight people yesterday and today in three locations. CBS's Peter King.
Joliet, Illinois Police Chief Bill Evans says there is a suspect.
Romeo Nance. Nance is 23 years old. He's 6'2", 160 pounds. He's an African-American male.
Evans says he knew the people he's accused of killing today in neighboring homes.
A total of seven people were found shot to death in these two locations.
The first victim was found shot to death yesterday. So far, there is no known motive. Peter King, CBS News.
It's down to two GOP presidential candidates as Donald Trump and Nikki Haley face off tomorrow in the New Hampshire primary. President Biden will not appear on the Democratic ballot in New Hampshire. CBS's Matt Piper.
The Democratic National Committee approved a new early primary schedule last year, supported by President Biden, to move South Carolina to be the first primary state. New Hampshire Republicans in control of the state government and state Democrats disagreed with the DNC's scheduling change and refused to change state law. Mr. Biden is the first sitting president to not appear on the state's primary ballot.
U.S. military officials say the latest strikes targeting Houthi underground storage sites in Yemen have been successful, with a wider range of targets, including radars. CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland.
This effort seems to be more deep-seated, more looking at longer-term Houthi capabilities to degrade their longer-term capabilities, as opposed to simply concentrating on those missiles that are preparing to be launched.
In Israel's parliament, families of hostages held by Hamas stormed a committee meeting demanding a deal to win their loved ones' release. Freezing rain has slickened roads, sidewalks, and parking lots and coated utility lines from northern Arkansas to southern Michigan. Melody Kwok is with the Highway Department in northwest Arkansas's Benton County.
Our crews have chains on our vehicles, but they are slipping and sliding. And if they are slipping and sliding, you probably will too.
In Texas, heavy rainfall has led to water rescues, and in California, concerns about flooding and mudslides. Filmmaker Norman Jewison died at his home over the weekend. He was 87. CBS's Jim Shenevy looks back.
Norman Jewison directed many memorable movies during his decades-long career, comedies like Moonstruck.
Do you love him, Loretta?
Ma, I love him awful.
Oh, God, that's too bad.
Dramas such as In the Heat of the Night.
They call me Mr. Tibbs.
And the musical Fiddler on the Roof. All three movies earned Jewison Oscar nominations for Best Director.
On Wall Street, the Dow closes above 38,000 for the first time. The S&P 500 also reached a record high. Now this.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told you.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehoe. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Hospital Sisters Health System announced Monday that they are closing two hospitals in western Wisconsin. The Sacred Heart Hospital in Eau Claire and St. Joseph's Hospital in Chippewa Falls will both close by the end of April. They say the closures are due to prolonged operational and financial stress placed on the hospitals that began with COVID. Vice President Kamala Harris was in suburban Waukesha County Monday while the legal battle over reproductive rights in Wisconsin wages on.
In a state whose motto is forward, these extremists are trying to take us backward. Well, we're not having that.
State lawmakers took testimony Monday on a bill to put a shorter window on legal abortion to a statewide referendum this spring. I'm Nate Wiggehoe, Civic Media News.
It's game two of the Bucks and the Pistons. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks and the Pistons again in Detroit. Milwaukee winning the first game Saturday night, 145-131. The Bucks return home Wednesday for a rematch against the Cavaliers. College basketball. Badgers picking up a win at the Kohl Center over Indiana Friday night, 91-79. Their next game is tomorrow night in Minnesota against the Gophers. Marquette got a win on the road, beating St. John's by 1 point, 73-72 on Saturday. Their next game is Wednesday against DePaul in Chicago. Chicago. The Packers packing their bags. Losing to the 49ers, 24-21, ending their season on emotional Aaron Jones after the game.
Nobody thought we would be here. Nobody thought we would make it to the second round of the playoffs. But it just shows that if you buy in, you believe in each other, you work together, offense, defense, special teams, and you really come together, it's hard to stop. It's hard to stop.
That's Packers running back Aaron Jones. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, cloudy, a low in the low 20s. And more clouds around for tomorrow, a high in the low 30s. Clouds in mid-30s Wednesday. On Thursday, a chance of rain and snow. Highs once again in the mid-30s and mostly cloudy in upper 30s by Friday. Current temp is 30.
Hey, it's Mino. Join us Tuesday for Mino and the Mayor. Sandra Rank from Sandra Rank Realty joins us to talk about the real estate market at 7:30. Mino and the Mayor, 6 to 8 on WGBW and WISS.
Tap into what Chippewa Falls, Eau Claire, and the Chippewa Valley is talking about today. This is 93.5 The Tap. Online at thetap.fm.
1, 2, come on, 2, 3, 4.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media Studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood.
Whatever gets you through the night, it's all right, it's all right.
And now, a guy who wears a bathing suit in the shower, Pete Schwabba.
Hey, welcome to Nightlight. On this beautiful, balmy Monday night in Wisconsin. I think I just heard on the weather forecast, 30 degrees. That's gorgeous weather. That's gorgeous January weather. Conrad, how you doing?
I'm doing great. I should have worn shorts today.
You know what? You'd be Wisconsin winter shorts guy if you did.
Exactly.
There's a lot of them out there. How cold does it have to be for you not to wear shorts?
It has to be, you know, the zeros and below.
Zeros and below. That's fair. Okay. You're old school that way. That's outstanding. Well, welcome to Nightlight, folks. Broadcasting live here from City Deck Landing in Green Bay at the WGBW studios of Civic Media. Got a lot to get to tonight. There's Oscar announcements due tomorrow. It's Oscar announcement eve. I've been trying to see all the films I think are going to be nominated. I'm probably not quite there yet, but I've made a dent. And there's another big award that I'm going to talk about in just a minute, too, in show business that you will not want to miss. Conrad, as I mentioned, is standing by to take your texts and calls. And as usual, we hope you contact us. We hope you interact. We love talking to listeners and finding out what you're watching and what your thoughts are on the subject matter of the show as we plow through this Monday night edition of Nightlight. You might want to contact Conrad, too, because tonight's question, we want to check in with people. New Year's Eve was like 3 weeks ago now, or New Year's Day, too. What is your New Year's resolution, and how are you doing with it? That is tonight's question. How is your New Year's resolution holding up? Have you bailed? I bailed like on January 7th. I said I wasn't going to drink soda. It was a brutal 6 days. I had withdrawal. I am trying to avoid high fructose corn syrup for what that's worth. So I tell myself the real sugar soda is more healthy. And it maybe is, slightly. But it's not exactly health food. So how is your New Year's resolution holding up? Let us know, 920-264-0606. Or you can text us on the app where it's really easy. There's like a little text icon and you can just hit that. Conrad, how's your New Year's resolution going?
See, I'm saying it just got a late start. It started this today. It started today.
Okay.
And so far it's going well.
you're crushing it so far. Can you share?
Oh yeah. Well,
family friendly.
Yeah. So my resolution was to just, you know, go to the gym, again.
Okay.
And just eat better, food during the day. So
better food.
Yeah.
What constitutes, what kind of better food? Like everything's relative when it comes to nutrition.
Yeah. I like to do higher protein foods.
Okay.
Just not with a bunch of carbs either. And not as much sugar either. So
that's a great, I'm telling you, that's a great New Year's resolution. I've tried to do that too. I've done the keto thing so far this year. Pretty good. But when I, I find when I go off it, oh man, do I go off it? Couple sodas, bunch of cookies, and then I get back on. But I feel like I've undid all the good that I did the 6 days leading up to my one cheat day. So at this rate, I'm going to lose like a pound a year. Could take me a while. But I guess it's more about health, too. Well, good luck with that. I hope you how often do you go to the gym?
Well, now I want to go every weekday. Not on the weekends, but okay. Yeah, go every weekday.
I love the guys. I was at the gym a few days ago, and there's two dudes in particular. They just kind of walk around, and they talk to girls. They're both there together. They don't really, like, maybe they'll do a machine, like, once every 20 minutes, and then it's just kind of talking to girls, and they kind of walk around. And that, I mean, that takes commitment in a weird way.
Well, they got to pay to do that.
Well, yeah. Yeah, exactly. It's like a round of speed dating with heavy equipment around. And I don't know that I could get motivated for that. I mean, I'm older and I'm married, but still. Just going there to walk around. I guess you're getting your steps in. So anyway, we want to hear how your New Year's resolution is going. It's been 3 weeks. Are you sticking with it? Are you done? Have you changed it? Have you sworn off resolutions altogether? There is no right or wrong answer, folks. My guests tonight are filmmaker John Mossman. He's going to be here in a little bit. He made a really good film called Good Guy with a Gun that I saw at the Wisconsin Film Festival. And I've interviewed him on another show that I host, a TV show that about another film he made years ago called Into the Wake. So he's a really good filmmaker, and I'm excited to have him here. We'll talk to him at 8:30. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's own Stuart J. Waddles, is going to come on the program at 9, and he is going to share his thoughts on a Packers season with us as a fan. We have some expert opinion here. I suspect in the next day or two we'll hear from Mike Clemens. Stuart is going to give us a news reporter, since that's what he does here at Civic Media, and a real solid fan. He's going to give us that perspective. And then at 9:30, writer and podcaster Danielle Koenig will be here. She's a really good interview and really always fun to talk to. So, Conrad, are you where are you at with the Packers? You okay, buddy?
I'm all right. We weren't supposed to be there, you know?
Right.
I'm very proud of the team. Okay. We're the youngest team since like the 1960s or something.
Is that true? If just the Packers or the whole NFL, you mean? Just the Packers?
No, the Packers. Yeah, okay, one of the youngest teams in a long time. So just to make it to the playoffs was a great thing. Got to watch an extra couple football games.
And to get a win, too. A big win.
Yeah, a big win over Dallas. I was so happy with that win.
But it's so funny. They kind of own the Cowboys, and they kind of are owned by the 49ers. For whatever reason, they cannot get past the 49ers.
Yeah, it's a curse. The Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur rivalry is not even a rivalry, but
yeah, right.
It's like, I don't think he's won against them in the playoffs, so.
Well, he's got time. They're playing they were playing with house money this year. So that's that was pretty cool.
Yeah.
We got some birthdays today. Steve Perry turned 75, the lead singer of Journey. Journey, one of the most, I don't know if they've recorded new music in a long time, but their music just holds up. Diane Lane, star of The Outsiders and many other films, and my childhood crush, who has not answered one single call or love letter I've sent her over the years, turns 59 today. Sam Cooke, who died in 64, it's his birthday today too. And Linda Blair from Exorcist. Conrad.
Who's Kyle?
Who cares, right? Kyle, to heck with Kyle. Have you ever seen The Exorcist, the original?
I don't like scary movies, so I don't really watch that type of stuff.
Do you have nightmares?
I don't know. I just don't like how intense they are most of the time. Yeah. So,
I watched a film called Barbarian this year. I mean, literally, I was grabbing the chair, the arms of the chair, just like ready to. I'm with you. I don't typically like them, but I watch them because I feel like I have to sometimes. But Linda Blair turns 65 today, and still recovering from her head turning in a 360-degree angle from the original Exorcist. And then big releases on this day in the land of Hollywood. The Chappelle Show was released today, years ago. I want to say 2002. Did you watch the Chappelle Show?
I have. Yeah.
It's very funny. He's such a quiet dude. Anytime I've ever seen him, like when I used to stand up and we'd be in the same circles, I've never talked to him, but he was always like so kind of in the background, kind of almost shy guy. strange, but not at all like you see him, so brash on stage and will say anything. He just does not come across as that guy, but crazy run as a comedian and a TV actor. So tomorrow, folks, you can join Civic Media News Director Terry Bell and host Todd Alba for the governor's speech at 7 p.m. here on Civic Media, which will be followed by the Republican response. Hear what it means for you, your family, and your community. Join us on your local Civic Media radio station and the Civic Media app. And then afterwards, it'll be kind of cool. Todd Alba is going to be in Green Bay anyway, and he'll pop in here to talk with me a little bit about what he's watching. Todd is an avid TV watcher. He could maybe go pro if he didn't already have a job. So we'll talk to Todd about what he's watching, talk about what we've heard, what was nominated for the Oscars, which that happens tomorrow morning. And so tomorrow night will be another fun show. And tomorrow night also, I'm getting way ahead of myself, Dave Patterson. I kind of ran out of time with Dave last week. He's the writer, producer of the Bridge to Terabithia film. His mother wrote the book, The Bridge to Terabithia, which was based on Dave's own childhood and a friend that he lost. So Dave's a great interview, and I've allotted a little more time tomorrow night so we're not so rushed. So a lot of stuff happening on Nightlight over the next couple nights. But tonight, Conrad, where do I start? Honestly, I don't even know what, you know, we can talk about the Razzies first.
Yeah, there you go.
Okay, the Razzies are like the sarcastic, horrible film awards. And the film that is sweeping show business this year is Expendables 4. The Sylvester Stallone vehicle. They have 7 nominations as the worst film. And the film is up for worst movie, worst supporting actor. That's Sylvester Stallone. Worst actor, the guy who wrote Rocky and starred in Rocky and was great. He did not do as well this time. He did not fare as well. Worst supporting actress is included in that group, Megan Fox. And worst screenplay, which took 5 credited writers to achieve. Isn't that something? Like 5 writers. Like, they didn't spare any expense. They hired 5 guys. Probably not all at the same time, obviously. Different implementations. But they collaborated to be nominated for the worst screenplay and worst movie of the year, Expendables 4. And it was so bad, they tried to work the number 4 into the word Expendables. It's like the E or something. So it's like Expendables. It just, on every level, I've not seen it. Who knows? Maybe I'd watch it and like it. But it seems like they're trying really hard to get themselves a Razzie, and it worked. Another movie that's been nominated for the worst film of the year is Meg 2. And I saw this in the theaters. I went with the whole family because we saw Meg 1, which was not a great film, but was a popcorn summer movie. We went and saw it, and it was okay. I think megalodons are fascinating. 100 feet, they're like 100 feet long. Conrad, have you ever seen a megalodon?
Yeah, I've seen a picture of it. I haven't seen the movie though.
The first one was okay. The second one wasn't good. But I'm fascinated by megalodons, so I saw them both. Megalodon 2. If Expendables 4 is worse than Megalodon 2, it's a really bad film. Okay, when we come back, Conrad and I are going to take a cheese quiz and talk about how Wisconsin we are. That's next on Nightlight. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Like a river that don't know it's gone. I took a wrong turn and I just kept going. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Everybody's got a hungry heart. Lay down your money and you pay your part. Everybody's got a hungry heart.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Think you'd like working with us at Civic Media? We're having fun and moving fast to preserve hometown radio across Wisconsin. If you have the right skills to join our team, let's talk. Civic Media is a proud equal opportunity employer committed to diversity and inclusion, along with the growth and development of all current and future employees. If you're interested or are part of an organization who wants to know more, go to our website, civicmedia.us, and click on the Careers tab.
We all have someone we love, like the favorite lyric in our favorite song. You can't imagine life without them. Cancer screening tests can help keep the person you love around longer by detecting changes before cancer develops, or catch it early when it may be easier to treat. And many tests are available for free or covered by insurance. It's time to sound like a broken record. Tell all your friends and family, I love you. Get screened. Visit cancer.org/get screened to learn more.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back. So, I'm Pete Schwab, this is Nightlight. I saw Rob Thomas was on the show. By the way, how fun was Friday night with Lance Barber, Conrad?
Oh, that was great. So much fun.
He's such a fun, he's just a fun guy and a pleasure to be around. And I'll tell you a quick Lance story. When we were casting a film I made called The Godfather of Green Bay, Lance came into the room. And it would have sounded if I was blowing smoke if I had told him this on the air, but he was like, we saw a lot of good people that auditioned for the role of Kenny Caruso, which Lance ultimately landed. But it's so exciting when an actor walks in and is just the guy and you know it right away. And he reads for the part, and after he's done, you turn to the casting director and a couple producers, and we're all like, how is that? And one of the producers kind of played devil's advocate for a couple other guys, but I knew he knew Lance was the best. He was just doing that to cover all of our bases, make sure we had the arguments and the discussions. And then he basically admitted, yeah, Lance is on another level. And he was. So he's on Young Sheldon. He was a lot of fun to interview. The show is ending, so maybe we'll get him back on after. He has a big episode coming up for his character. Maybe we'll get him back on the show after that, but he was a lot of fun. Anyway, Rob Thomas was on the show too, and Rob is a blast to talk to because we talked about the movie The Beekeeper, and he said he went and saw it with his brother. I saw it yesterday with my son. We went to see it. It got like a 72% on Rotten Tomatoes. Jason Statham is the star, great action actor, and a pretty good actor anyway. It was so much fun. It was just like, he's like this guy who lives on a farm and is a beekeeper. And beekeeper is also code for a CIA program, which I thought maybe it would be. And it was. It's like, no, he's not just a beekeeper. He can also, you know, tear you up. So, but the movie just like escalated. First he gets this guy, then he follows the trail of the money, and then it leads. And I won't even tell you where it leads, but the stakes keep going up. And the action gets a little preposterous towards the end, but for the most part, it was like just a really fun theater movie. And I don't know about you guys. Conrad, you go to many theaters and movies in the theater?
Yeah, especially right after COVID when I was able to go out again.
Yeah.
I saw like every movie that was that was out at that point. Nice. I love going. The experience is great, just going to a theater.
Yeah, totally. You can't beat it. And yesterday, honestly, I was expecting it not to be very crowded, but we went with a friend of ours, my son and our neighbor, Mike, and we went and it was like really crowded. Like I was surprised to see that many people there. And I love when a theater is crowded, but I also hate when a theater is crowded because where I live, there are a lot of older people and some of them act like they are watching a movie in their living room. They lean over and say stuff really loud, either because they're hard of hearing or they're trying to talk over the sound. It's just like, what are you supposed to do? Like, I've shushed people in theaters. I feel like, hey, I'm paying a lot of money to be in here. I'm not in your house. Please respect that we're all here to watch the movie. But then you turn to shush or say something, and it's a guy that's like 85 or 90 years old, and you're like, okay, he's just trying to watch the movie. He's not trying to be obnoxious. So he's got to sit there and tune it out. But oh my God, yesterday, it was like I was at a book club discussion group throughout the movie talking about the swearing or the violence. I'm like, did you research the movie? It's called The Beekeeper. Jason Statham is the actor. It's like they just stumbled in. There's probably 50 people in the theater all having a discussion. I don't know. I hope they enjoyed the talk more than they did the movie. I like the movie, though. I recommend The Beekeeper. It was a lot of fun. So, all right. So, Conrad, last week, last Friday, again, I keep going back to Friday, Kara Mulrooney was on the show. She's a lot of fun. She's from Milwaukee. And we had this quiz. We kind of ran out of time, but I thought you and I could take it tonight. How Wisconsin are you?
Yeah.
And I think we can jam through this before we have to take a break. And
yeah.
Before John is here to talk movies. So let's do this. All right. Where did we get this? Do you know? Did you send this to me?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Where did you find this?
I didn't find it. Amanda Nimmer did.
Or Todd. Yeah, one of them.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's a quiz called How Wisconsin Are You? And you're welcome to text us and tell you how you did in this quiz, too. I'm going to read these off, and we'll mark which ones we've done. So we get 1 point for each thing we've done. Been to a fish fry?
Yes.
Yes, me too. Okay, you can keep your score. I'll keep my score.
Okay.
We can go faster that way. Visited Lambeau Field?
Of course.
Yes. Eaten a Culver's Butter Burger?
Yeah.
Yep. I think I have. Have you eaten the Kurger Burger?
I have not tried that.
Yeah. Why would you do that? Why would you want to? You could die within an hour.
I think it's just like a huge Wisconsin thing to try it.
You know, they put that out as a joke. Yeah. And people are like, hey, that looks good. Hey, I need to put on weight. I'd love to try that. All right. So that's okay. Pump gas at a Quick Trip.
Yep.
Yes. Every other day. Boiled brats and beer.
Yep. I have not done that.
You haven't done that?
Not in beer. Okay. Just boiled brats.
What are you boiling in? Like soda?
Just water. Just boil it.
Liquid heroin solution. All right.
Jeez.
Hunted deer. Are you a deer hunter?
I have not hunted for deer. I've hunted for turkey, but not for deer.
Oh. With your bare hands or with a gun?
With my bare hands.
All right.
No, I'm just kidding.
That's a fair fight. Although they could peck your eyes out, you probably should have a gun. All right, hunted deer. That's that's a no for you and a no for me. Owned a snowblower?
I have not personally.
Yeah, I don't either. Drank a spotted cow?
Oh, yes, of course.
But just one. I've done that too. Delicious. Eaten squeaky? Even saying this is hard. Eaten squeaky cheese curds?
Yes. One of my favorite foods.
That's a no for me. All right. What are you at right now? Just out of curiosity.
I'm at 6.
I'm at 7. Okay. And you're the native. You spent your whole life here, right? Okay. Went on vacation up north. It's kind of vague, but yeah, me too. All right. I guess I live up north. So saw a concert at Summerfest.
Yep.
Yep. Tailgated at Miller Park.
I have, yes.
I have not. I've tailgated, and I think I told Kara this the other night. I've tailgated at Old County Stadium.
Yeah.
So that doesn't count. Hated potholes with a passion.
I think that's a everyone thing.
I think you're right, yeah. Watched Making a Murderer.
I have never seen that.
Okay, I watched that. Eaten cherries in Door County.
I have done that, yes.
I don't think I have. I've eaten them from there, but not in Door County, so I'm going to say no on that one. Ridden a Harley.
I haven't done that, no.
Me either. Ridden a Schwinn. Or a Huffy.
There you go, yeah.
Okay, so been to the state fair?
Yep.
Me too. Hated driving in Illinois?
I can't say I hate it.
Yeah, I mean, as much as I hate it anywhere, I guess.
Yeah.
Being stuck in Chicago isn't fun, but all right, I'll put a yes for that. Worn a Packers jersey to church. That's a great one. I have not done that.
I can't say I've done that either.
I would imagine in Wisconsin there are priests that have done that. All right, we're going to have to continue this. Are we almost out of time?
Yeah, we got
one more. Gone tubing during summer.
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
All right, what are you at right now?
I'm at 13.
13, okay. I'm at 15. How am I nudging you out in this? All right, we got a long way to go. We'll finalize our scores a little later. All right, coming up in just a minute to talk about his awesome films that he makes, native Wisconsinite, John Mossman will be here. I'm Pete Schwabba. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. And put you in misery. Since I met this little woman, I feel it's happened to me. And I'm telling you, it's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm falling in love. It's too late to turn back now. I believe I'm
falling.
93.5 The Tap.
CBS News Brief. The search is on for a suspect in the shooting deaths of 8 people over 2 days in Joliet, Illinois. Will County Sheriff Deputy Chief Dan Jungles says at an apartment complex yesterday.
Upon deputy's arrival, they located a gunshot wound. He was transported from that area to a local area hospital where he succumbed to his injuries.
Former U.N. Ambassador Nikki Haley is looking to upset former President Trump in tomorrow's New Hampshire primary. CBS's Caitlin Huey Burns in Salem.
What struck me so much is that there still are those voters out there who are so disenchanted by the whole process, not really into any of the choices, but are still planning to vote and are still making up their mind.
The U.S. and U.K. conduct another round of strikes against Houthi targets in Yemen. CBS's David Martin.
Defense officials say this was a larger operation aimed at a wider range of targets in an effort to degrade the Houthis' ability to threaten ships in the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden.
CBS News Brief, I'm Jennifer Kuiper.
For Civic Media News, I'm Nate Wiggehout. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. President Joe Biden will be in Superior on Thursday to talk about the bipartisan infrastructure bill. He's coming on the heels of the announcement that Wisconsin and Minnesota are getting $1 billion to replace the Blatnik Bridge that connects Superior to Duluth. Details on exactly when and where the president will talk have not yet been released. Vice President Kamala Harris came to Big Bend, Wisconsin on Monday to tout reproductive rights. Wisconsin agriculture officials are reminding farmers to apply for crop insurance premium rebates through the end of January. The coverage is only offered on a first-come, first-served basis. There's no limit on acres an applicant can apply for, though farmers who got state or federal cost sharing to plant cover crops in 2023 are not eligible this year. I'm Nate Wiggehout, Civic Media News.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Luke Matthews, it's time for Tuesday Tangents with Lukester.
Everybody announced yesterday, schools are closed tomorrow. I feel like a boomer almost here, Todd. Where I'm like, back in my day, we never got a snow day in advance.
I remember sitting patiently, like cross-legged in front of the television set, just waiting for the little ticker to scroll by. And if you missed it alphabetically, you had to sit there even longer.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station. And on the app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, cloudy, a low in the low 20s, and more clouds around for tomorrow, a high in the low 30s. Clouds in mid 30s Wednesday. On Thursday, a chance of rain and snow, highs once again in the mid 30s, and mostly cloudy in upper 30s by Friday. Right now, it's 31.
Yeah, we're replacing the carpets too, so don't worry about that.
No fresh powder yet, but Dan's Ski Lodge has an avalanche of projects.
Those four rooms are getting hot tubs.
He needs a staff engineer to navigate a flurry of new requests.
And all of those will be fully ADA accessible.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do. You can schedule and conduct virtual interviews all from your employer dashboard. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
This is 93.5 The Tap.
Tune into The Empowered Caregiver with me, Liza Hellenbrand, every Wednesday evening at 7.
On 93.5 The Tap.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
Matt Flynn, thanks for joining us. As an attorney who's been in a lot of courtrooms, Trump may insist on giving part of his closing oral arguments on this case. I'm not sure if you ever saw the ABC series Boston Legal with William Shatner as Denny Crane. We're approaching Denny Crane territory here.
That's flat out crazy. It's like taking out your own appendix with a Bowie knife and you have no anesthesia. You don't know what the hell you're doing.
The Todd Allbaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2. On your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
If anyone knows what's on tap, it's the Chippewa Valley. We're talking about everything that's on tap in your world today. 93.5 The Tap.
question of the night. How is your New Year's Eve? How is your New Year's resolution going? Let us know how it's working out for you. We're about 3 weeks in. That's usually when most people have already jumped ship. But let us know how it's going for you. 920-264-0606. Conrad is ready to take your texts and calls. Coming up in just a little bit, Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media's own, joins me to rant or rave about his beloved Packers. And then at 9:30, writer, comedian Daniel Koenig joins me. But right now, I'm very excited to welcome a filmmaker whose work I've admired for quite a few years now. Joining me is writer-director John Mossman. John, how are you?
I'm good. How are you doing,
Pete? I'm doing great. It's good to have you on the show. You were one of the first people I thought of. I love your films, and it's great to have you on. So let's talk some movies.
Let's talk movies.
Yeah. So your most recent film, let's start with that. It's called A Good Guy with a Gun, or just Good Guy with a Gun, actually.
Good Guy with a Gun.
Good Guy with a Gun. And I saw it at the Wisconsin Film Festival. But why don't you tell us a little bit about it?
Well, it's basically just like it's a metaphor for our greater American family. Essentially, it's just a story of a family who's sort of fractured and losing faith in itself, and the son kind of goes down a dangerous path and discovers that it's really difficult to turn back. So it's a coming of age story about a woman and her son, but also about the kind of current American experience.
Yeah. And I like that he was kind of a new kid too, right? New kid in town,
yeah.
Impressionable, yeah. And fell in with a crowd that his mom wasn't too happy about, as I recall.
Yeah. It's like the kid story about a kid who he and his mother go to a small town you know, like his father has died. He's angry. He's frustrated. And he's got these, you know, he doesn't have any male role models. He's sort of idolized his father, but because his father died sort of what some people would call stupidly, you know, he died from gun violence. He brought freaking words to a gunfight and died. The son's grief and anger kind of gets channeled, especially by some very savvy players. Right. And he almost, you know, because you wonder, how does it happen? How does it happen to smart people when they kind of get roped or led down a path that you might discover later was really foolish? And so when I asked that question, I thought it was probably a lot of things around grief and anger and having that sort of those elements in you harnessed in a very unhealthy way.
Yeah, how it did really well in Madison. It played, like, I thought the response was fantastic. How has it been resonating with audiences? Because it's a polarizing issue.
Interesting. It's played really interesting. Madison, which this pleased me, Madison laughed a lot. I think it's quite funny at times. It's really funny until it's not. And so Madison kind of got it. I suppose that's not a – Madison got the humor. Which doesn't surprise me because I think a lot of my sensibilities were shaped there, and Madison didn't let me down in the humor department.
That's right. You went to school there, right?
Yeah. And it still felt the same in a lot of ways, but it had a really interesting screening in Tucson where I have a lot of family, and I was very happy to have it there. And it's kind of an independent place, Arizona, but also super redneck, you know, in not an insulting way. I mean, I'm kind of a citified redneck, you know, raised in Baraboo, and I kind of I still embrace parts of, you know, the experience that a lot of people around here in Chicago find pretty foreign. Tucson was really interesting. The discussion was very interesting. I sometimes ask the question when I get the vibe it merits asking, like, is anyone in here packing? Guy in the back goes, I left mine in the car, you know, out of respect.
Right.
Thank you. And it's actually been great. I love going to play. I've targeted places that have gun violence or are Southern. And here's the thing that's strange, Pete. It has yet to play in a slave state. Oh, no, wait. Texas is officially a slave state. So it played there twice. In sort of a little more liberal regions, but it has yet to play anywhere in what would be we would con- traditionally call it.
Have you tried to get it into those more conservative areas, John, or do you not want the headache, or how does that work?
Everyone, Pete, I've tried to get it into every single conservative area I could. Got it into Michigan, but it was in Lansing. But I mean, you know, like that capital is fraught with problems. It's just like right outside the gates of the city, you've got a lot of stuff going on. And you can feel the tension. Okay. Wisconsin's got a bit of it, but you know, downstate Illinois was interesting because that's where I placed it. And there were a bunch of people at the Route 66 Fest. And I heard this repeatedly. It's just like that here. It's just no like kidding. That here. Yeah. And I placed it in the Midwest because I didn't want it to be like mistaken for just a Southern problem. Okay. You know, the insurrection, the inauguration was largely fired up by Midwesterners. So that was important that I do in the Midwest. And yeah, it seems to have struck a chord. But it's also struck a chord where people will not show it. Right. I don't think it merits that kind of fear. I think it's
right.
funny and fair, and I'm a gun owner. And
so. Yeah, talk about that, John, because at the Q&A that I saw in Madison, you mentioned that. You said, I'm a responsible gun owner. I know a lot about, you know a lot about guns, and my guess would be that responsible gun owners would still find a lot to like with the film. And that maybe it's a fringe crowd that might be offended or find something to be offended. But how does that, you know, did your responsible gun ownership help you? I would imagine it helped you a lot writing the script and shooting the film.
Yeah, it helped. It helped a lot. And I had military people involved. And, you know, here's the thing that's interesting. I rarely found anybody. I talked to every single person practically on the crew, whether I solicited their opinion or not. I was always happy to hear it. Almost every single person talked to me about their relation with guns, and many were from like North Carolina and had grown up in a situation very similar to what I represent. Is like, yeah, we used to go out and shoot things and had a lot of fun doing it. And then we're like, I'm a little embarrassed sometimes. And I go back and I hear people that have sort of drunk the Kool-Aid.
Right.
Of the conspiracy theories, but by and large, the vast majority of gun owners, even the ones who I have political differences with, who are my friends, who have drunk a certain Kool-Aid and believe a lot of conspiracy theories, when you get down to the very basics, like should there be training? Yeah. Okay, good. Should there be some restrictions? Well, maybe. Okay, what? And we tend to agree on a lot of them.
That's funny.
It's just this stupid sort of polarizing debate. And the very word debate indicates a winner and a loser. And right now people just, you know, can't stand to lose. No one wants to be a loser, you know?
Yeah.
And a discussion is a debate in particular seems to be dependent upon a winner and a loser.
Yeah.
And so I try not to frame it as that.
My guest is John Mossman. He's a writer and director who lives in Chicago, originally from Wisconsin, and his film, most recent film, is Good Guy with a Gun. Where did the idea come from, John? What was your inspiration for writing this? You have to look far, but yeah.
Yeah, and well, the one was the last thing was the inauguration, you know, it's January 6th, which just lit a fire under a lot of us, and particularly me. I've got a bit of a bone to pick with some of the people who claim, you know, like gun rights are so important that we can't possibly regulate anything. Chief Justice Burger was back in the 70s, was an appointee by Richard Nixon, and he did a lot of good work for the Republicans and the conservatives rather at the time. He really had his bona fides. And I saw an interview with him about 92 when things were heating up, and he was interviewed by Barbara Walters or something. I saw this recently, and she asked him, what would he change? He said, the Second Amendment would never have been written. It's the greatest fraud, I repeat, fraud perpetrated on the American people. And I found that interesting because to do that now is almost, to say that would be sacrilegious. But, you know, the Republican Party, it was not always believed that the Second Amendment was, you know, a God-given right, which, of course, it's not. It's a man-given right. But everyone is using a lot of religious terminology around guns these days. And so that was one of the latter things, just getting fed up with that. The other one was just kind of a weird thing that happened to me. Like, it was 12 years ago, and I had, I don't know if I said this when I was in the Q&A, but because it's kind of weird, but I had this dream that I was a shooter, and it was very disturbing.
Whoa.
And yeah, and it was 12 years ago, 12 and a half years ago. And I went downstairs at like 4 a.m. and tried to write, and I hadn't written in a long time, but it was so upsetting. It was so real. And I know it's going to sound like crazy, but if it's a coincidence, it was just a very powerful one. I heard my wife crying upstairs and about 7:30, 8:30 in the morning. And I was like, what's going on? And she said, somebody just shot up a bunch of kids at Sandy Hook.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. And I didn't ever say anything about that. I was just like, what a coincidence. I'm an engineer's son. I demand proof on anything. But I was like, God damn, did I just fall, you know, experience a scene?
Wow.
You know,
that sounds like anyway, a movie.
It was very upsetting, Pete. So it sort of hung in my conscience. For a long time, I felt guilty for even having like had that dream that was so realistic, and then was freaked out. I didn't mention it to my wife at the moment. I just sort of stunned. And so for whatever reason, that just stuck with me, and I tried to work through it. And a lot of my stuff does come from dreams or waking dreams. Those two incidents is what did it. But it was mostly just, you know, hearing Alex Jones and Wayne LaPierre, you know, coin that the next day. Or 2 days later, whatever it was, the only thing that's going to stop a bad guy with a gun is a good guy with a gun. That's
your title, yeah. So I want to talk, John. I host another TV show on public television, and I had the opportunity to interview you years ago about your film Into the Wake, and I want to talk about that in a minute, but we have to do a quick break in a couple minutes. First, I want to ask you, you've been on Chicago PD, Chicago Fire. You're in a great city for acting. You have access to theater. Is it hard to pursue a career as an actor when you are, like, filmmaking is so time consuming, the writing process, putting it together. How do you manage to still get yourself out there as an actor?
Yeah, it's, well, I write cameos for myself. but I do, yeah, I get out there in some TV shows. And the nice thing is, Pete, the thing that's happening is because, you know, you were talking about what's your New Year's resolution. Well, I heard some friend of mine said, mine is to flourish. I said, I like that. I said, but I think mine is to nourish. And what I've been doing and is trying to do that. So I doubled down on not just filmmaking, but bringing on new filmmakers onto my sets and people that are into writing, like my makeup person is a writer and a director, and my scripty is a writer and a director. And I love being surrounded by filmmakers.
Yeah.
Everyone's a filmmaker on the film, but they're also the directors, you know, the just the primary creators, and they like being on my set, and I want to be on theirs. And these are a lot of the people that have been contacting me to act in there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
It's a nice great. Little world you've built there.
You know what, Pete? It's not, you know, you
that's what you got to do.
Enough, you know a lot of people.
Yeah.
It is kind of nice. It's actually wonderful.
That's a I'm great working, network.
There's a woman who played the lead, Tessa, who I'm sure you remember was just terrific.
She was great.
Good guy. Yeah. And she approached me with the script she and her husband and had written called Fitting Descriptions. And I just co-directed for the first time with her. She's like, I want to direct. And yeah, she killed it. So she acted in it and she directed. And, you know, I fully expect her to cast me in something.
My guest is John Wasserman. He's a writer and director and very talented. We've got more with him next about another film he wrote that is just great. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. We learn more from a 3-minute record.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap. The Todd Almost Show.
The immigration challenge in this country, as Jorge Ramos, the great author, likes to say, you can build as many and high walls and deep walls as you possibly want. But until you start addressing the problem within countries, people will keep coming. For all of our faults, people still look at America as that shining city on a hill and want to come here, and I believe that makes us stronger.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it. Navigating without a compass, eyes waiting, started to wonder. Metamorphosis, the loss of who you thought you is.
When your kid can't find the language, help them find the lyrics. Listen to the Sound It Out album and get tips and tools to start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ad Council and Pivotal Ventures.
93.5 The Tap.
Welcome back to Nightlight. Spending some time here with writer-director John Mossman, who is a filmmaker from Chicago, originally from Wisconsin. John, we just talked about how you were in some TV shows as an actor, a couple of the Chicago franchises, Chicago Fire and Chicago PD. Any desire to direct TV?
You know, I started out looking into that when I was in L.A., but then when I came back here like around 2000 from LA. I went out there as a young guy and decided, God, I just had like such an awesome, terrible time in LA. It was simultaneously the best days of my life and the most awful experience.
A lot of people say that. That's hilarious.
Yeah, isn't that funny? Yeah, I wouldn't trade it for a thing, but I came back like, I'm done with acting. Screw that. And then I jumped into more into filmmaking. But what I was doing there was starting to hang out on film sets, or rather TV sets. And I was lucky enough to shadow Jim Burrows, who did, the Eric McCormick series.
With Deborah Messing.
Will and Grace.
Will and Grace, yeah.
Yeah, and so I got to be on that for a week. And then I got to sort of shadow a bunch of far less successful sitcoms. So I thought I was going to do that. So that was what the purpose of that was. And I was pretty sure I could do well at it, but there were a couple things. One, I wasn't sure I wanted to raise my kids out there, and they were getting to the age of like past first grade. And then my wife had an opportunity to sort of run a theater here. And yeah, I was kind of at that, I've had enough feeling. So there wasn't enough TV here to really ever dream of that.
Okay.
So I would actually love that. And I've shadowed a few other productions here where you just kind of get to know the, the process. But I'll tell you, the hourlies are brutal. I would like it. I just think it's a little more training that I need to do something like that. Then the thing that was kind of cool about the sitcoms, when they hit, they're just like a well-oiled machine, it seemed. Yeah. And it was like going to work. People that had kids loved that gig. It's like, we're done at 4, to the, you know.
Unless you get a crazy star who keeps you there all night. And I've seen that too. You got to do it again. It's
like, oh, no.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Burroughs
That's a great
was,
point,
you know
though.
What? Burroughs was really interesting because he did everything super fast. And so his shows would have maybe not the best camera work, because if there was a bump or something in some dolly move or tracking move, he didn't care. He just wanted a performance, and he had these bands playing and nobody left. And it was like 3 hours to do that, you know, half hour show, which isn't that bad.
Yeah. Yeah. He did Cheers. So, he's got some big, like he's one of the biggest TV directors of all time. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was great to be there. But he gave me good advice, and part of that was, I think the main was if you're going to direct TV, don't just be a traffic cop. And from that, I took what he was saying is like, it's really going to be easy to be a traffic cop in TV, and that is just moving the pieces around. And I wasn't sure I had the skill to become Jim Burrows, and that was like, to me, the only way to do that.
Yeah, that can be a little
Although I know other people that have been TV directors and they're and they're great. But yeah,
good work if you can get it, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
So, John, what I really want to get to your film Into the Wake, as I mentioned before, I was just such a huge fan of it. Can people see that? By the way, I'm talking with John Mossman. He's a writer, director, Wisconsin native, living in Chicago right now. You shot Into the Wake.
Yeah.
In the Baraboo area, I believe, where you're from.
Yeah. And Baraboo and Sauk.
It's a movie about a family feud, and the acting is stellar. I can't believe what you did for the money. It's just a beautiful film. Can people see that anywhere?
Yeah, you know what? I've taken it off Prime because they've got some other weird algorithm that, like, I don't know what they're about. My new film will be on there, but this is like a $57,000 film that looks really a lot more expensive. Yeah. But I think I was lacking a few of the deliverables and the sound requirements of, you know, specific kinds of, like, what they would call, like, what, like, legs and things. Just, it's getting more complicated with the deliverables these days, and the whole distribution world is crazy. So I just have it for free. Anyone just right now can just Google Into the Wake Vimeo, and that comes up with a bunch of my other weird stuff.
You'd be well served to check it out, folks. It's a really, really good film. And if you hadn't said the budget, John, no one would even know. It looks that good. The acting is that good. Yeah. We just have about a minute left. Is it easier? Actually, let's not even go there. Check out Into the Wake and then check out Good Guy with a Gun. You'll have news on that soon where people can see that.
I'm gonna
you'll
have
to come
news,
back
yes.
on next week and let us know where you land news. With that. But real quick, what we do on this show, John, is talk about what we're binge watching and watching, or what is cringeworthy. What's John Mossman watching?
God, you always hit me with these tough questions.
You can even say your own films. Pete, I binge watch my own films. That's what I do.
God, I watch. Yeah, no, it's the cringeworthy part. I just never get over it, Pete. Why? Why did I shoot it that way? right. I would say I'm kind. You know what? I come to the party late. I would say I've been binge watching Game of Thrones. You know,
I was late to that party too, and it is very addicting.
It's addictive. Okay, yeah. So I'm doing that. And then last night I started watching Oppenheimer. And nice. I didn't finish it, but I'm going to finish that after this tonight. So I'm going to do that. Cringeworthy. Boy, I don't think I've got anything.
You can keep it all positive. That's fine. Oppenheimer. And Oppenheimer, you might want to pack a lunch for or schedule a bathroom break somewhere in there. It's quite long, but great movie.
Yeah.
And
what do you have anything going on that you like that's cringeworthy?
Yeah, right now I'm into Perry Mason on HBO. I really like that. The remake. And then I just watched Anatomy of a Fall. I'm trying to catch up because the Oscar nominations come out tomorrow. So I'd like to be somewhat up on things. And really liked Killers of the Flower Moon. I just saw that. And just kind of playing catch up. But yeah, there's so much out there.
Yeah. You know? And every once in a while, like I was doing some Noel Coward or some Oscar Wilde, you know, like readings of stuff at the theater, and found myself watching Frasier.
Oh, fun. You know, that's great.
And I wasn't even a fan of Frasier when Frasier was out. And now I'm watching it, just like kind of marveling at some of the good shtick that they do.
Yeah, that's great. John, I can't thank you enough for your time tonight. This is great.
No,
I will
thank
let you guys pop on. Let me know next week where your movie lands, and we'll have you on just for a couple minutes to tell us where we can watch it. But thanks so much for your time. Have a great night, buddy.
Thank you, Pete.
All right.
Talk to you later.
That's John Mossman, the writer director, and we'll have news on his new release coming out next week. In just a couple minutes, Stuart Waddles is going to break down his beloved Packers season. In just a couple minutes, then we got writer Danielle Koenig at 9:30. I'm Pete Schwabe. This is Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
From Liney Lodge and Carson Park, the entire Chippewa Valley is tapping in to the station talking about your hometown
and all of Wisconsin.
93.5, The Tap.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
To the big-hearted, the bold, the teachers, the growers, the builders, the change makers, we need you. We are the Peace Corps. In more than 60 countries, we go the distance to make a difference. We're volunteers, partners, communities, bringing our experience, joy, and passion to building a better world together. Are you looking for more? Then we are looking for you. Join us at PeaceCorps.gov.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap.
WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire.
And streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
This is CBS News.